Welcome to the Jewelers Podcast, the podcast that talks to jewelers, retailers, and industry supporters about their experiences and insights into the jewelry industry. The Jewelers Podcast is part of the Jewelry Industry Network. Whether you're a jeweler, retailer, supplier, valuer, gemologist, teacher, or student, the Jewelry Industry Network is here to help you build your business in the jewelry industry. Join us today with a free membership at www.jewelryindustrynetwork.com. We can't wait to work with you. Thank you all for tuning in to our last episode of the Jewelers Podcast for 2021. Brett and I have had an amazing year speaking to some of the most inspirational people in the jewelry industry, both locally and from all over the world. We love that the Jewelers Podcast can connect so many people across the globe to stories, advice, and inspiration within our sparkling industry. Brett and I feel very privileged to have such wonderful guests, beautiful topics, and all of you as our amazing listeners. We thank you for being part of our community and our beloved industry. Along with our extended Jewelry Industry Network team, we want to sincerely wish each and every one of you a wonderful festive break. Please enjoy our last episode for 2021. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of the Jewelers Podcast. Laura Moore here and Brett Lowe, my co-host. We have two beautiful women joining us today from the Gemological Association of Australia. Meg Tolkien, who is the education officer for the GAA in WA, and also Catherine White, who's the publicity officer at the GAA. Welcome, ladies, to the Jewelers Podcast.
Hello.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's great to have you both online with us today. It's a real mix across the country, having the four of us in basically one side and you guys on the other side and Laura down the bottom. It's Australia wide.
The whole country covered here.
which is fantastic. So, yeah, thanks so much for joining us, you guys.
It's a pleasure. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, we wanted to chat to you a little bit about, obviously, gemology, because it's such an integral part of the jewellery industry, and obviously our listeners are jewellers and jewellery enthusiasts and, you know, different types of jewellery people from all over the country and the world. So you guys have obviously a really fantastic history in the jewellery industry, but your forte is gemology. Tell us a little bit about what you do for the GAA.
I am the education officer in WA, so I see myself as a student liaison officer and a teacher liaison officer. Then I also lecture, so I take a few topics, and I'm also a practical demonstrator in the lab. So, I actually teach the gemology, the prac side of it as well. So I do all three.
Fantastic.
And with the publicity and marketing hat on, I volunteer for the GAA for the last 25 or 30 years and just help them in my spare time promote gemology to the industry. My other hat is I'm an antique and contemporary jewellery dealer, second generation. So gemology was in my blood. My mother actually did it when she was like 54 because she changed careers then and started working for herself and did gemology. So I did it when I was about 30 and haven't looked back.
It's not uncommon, you know. I hear that quite a bit. I met a lady not that long ago and she's nearing retirement age and done the same, gone back and done a gemology because she's always loved it. So it was a time to get stuck into something that she loves rather than chasing the career all the time. But I think it's become her career, to be honest with you.
It will suck you in.
I've got a stone collection. I've always thought about doing it as well myself because I've always loved gems, loved, you know, collecting, you know, slices of agate, and I've got malachite and a whole pile of other things, and I look over them every now and then. I'm like, I really should do a gemology course because I love the pieces. I just don't know enough about them. So it would give you a greater appreciation.
Well, Laura, we could suggest that you do the Introduction to Gems and Gemology course in South Australia.
Oh, and good.
I think it's just 2 days and it gives you an insight into what actually dipping your toe into gemology is all about. You get to play with instruments. They tell you what to look for in ornamental stones that you've got.
Good. I might do that because that would be perfect. 2 days, I can manage 2 days.
Yeah, that's the perfect start. Do you guys run those courses all across the country?
Yes, we do. Yes. Each state has introduction to gems and gemology. They're all slightly different. Some are a bit longer than others. The one in Victoria is more extensive, but mm-hmm. I still think the two-day one is just great to see if you're interested in taking it further, because it can be quite scientific. Mm-hmm. I remember one of the lectures from one of the conferences, the guy there called himself a forensic gemologist. And that's basically what we do when we're buying a piece of jewellery, is an antique piece of jewellery. I have to look at all the different aspects of it to get to its date, its time, when it was made. And the gemstones really help you with that, the inclusions in the gemstones, the type of gemstones. A lot of people don't realise that synthetics actually started in the 1880s. So that's 1880s, not 1980s, you know, that's a couple of centuries ago. The French made some rubies, and then the Germans, and then the Russians. The Russians are really good synthetics.
Yeah.
So you can tell, and you can look at, that's very important. So the synthetics all didn't start at once. You've got synthetics starting in 1880. The sapphire came in the early 1900s, 1930s for emeralds, spinels. And just to put it into context, just because they're synthetic or lab-grown, as they like to be called now, is really important, because it helps you date a piece, but also as their technology improved, so do the synthetics or lab-grown pieces. And when they were first produced, they were new technology. It was fascinating. They weren't poo-pooed as being copies or imitation. This was new technology. It's like having an iPad for the first time. So you can get Art Deco jewellery that have got synthetic pieces in it, and it's just the same price as a piece that has natural stones in it, because it's authentic and it's period. It's genuine.
Yeah, I like that term you mentioned there before about being forensic, because the gemology diplomas, everyone I've spoke to that's done it, it's difficult. It's not an easy piece of education to pick up, or an easy diploma to pick up. And you've got continued education, because these synthetics, the technology is always evolving. It must be challenging for you guys to stay on top of the technology and what's new and what's coming in from different countries and different parts of the world.
Yes, it is.
But it's also a lot of fun for us who'd like to learn. It is a bit of a challenging course, but my mother, who did it at 54, left school at 14.
Yeah.
But it can't be that difficult. She would have had a couple of tutors in the physics department and the optics department. But, yeah, it's not that difficult. It's a good challenge.
I love that. If my mother could do it, anyone could do it.
I think it depends on how passionate you are to do it, because I found for myself, because, you know, I'm a jeweler and I was doing it to learn for myself, I really wanted to learn as much as I could, and I wanted to be able to apply it, and I had an end goal of how I was going to be applying all this new knowledge. So to me, I just hit it and hit it hard. But I have noticed when there's students who don't have that end goal, they don't have that focus, like the end result, what they're going to be traveling down, they're the ones that sort of struggle a bit more. But I find a lot of the jewelers do really well, because we've got an end focus, like we know how we're going to be using it. So yeah, it's not that hard.
It's a bit like a high school student that doesn't really know what they want to do with their life.
That's it.
And they sort of plod along,
wander through,
to be a doctor, and they study in a different way. Fascinating. So Meg, so you're a bench jeweler as well.
Yes.
You obviously wanted to, as you said, you learn everything. How has it affected your ability to be a bench jeweler?
Well, gosh, it's huge. It's absolutely massive. I mean, it affects everything, because, you know, like Catherine was saying, synthetic stones have been around for a long time. And so, you know, when I was first, you know, doing my apprenticeship, and I didn't study my gemology until I'd been a jeweler for 11 years. So, you know, I find, unfortunately, that a lot of jewelers are quite arrogant. That, you know, and I say that freely, because they've got this view, myself included, before I did gemology, that we know everything. We are the jewelers. You know, we deal with the wholesalers every day. We see it all. We know all. And I remember sitting in my first lesson and there was this other jeweller in the class, and I'm not going to say his name. He's a lovely man. But he was there and he turned and looked at me and he said, you know, what are they going to teach us? And I said, oh, well, I don't know, but we're here. So let's give it a crack. And second lecture, and he turned to me and he said, yeah, we're going to learn a lot, hey. And I said, yeah, we are. I didn't realise how much as jewellers we do not know. You're just not taught it in that scientific level. And then it becomes things, I mean, you learn, okay, yes, you can heat these stones and you can't heat those stones. But just across the board, dealing with stones, like actually handling the stones, you know, it changed everything. Like suddenly you know what you can and can't do, and how careful you have to be with certain stones, like the cleavage and the breaks of a stone. And then, you know, dealing with wholesalers was next level, because all of a sudden you realise, you know, you've got a wholesaler there and actually they're just a salesperson. You know, they could be selling sunglasses. And they're selling things and they're saying things and you're like, that's actually not correct. You know, that is not right.
Yeah, it's a critical part of making or making jewellery. You know, gemstones, diamonds are in most
a lot
of jewellery. So, yeah, it's, yeah.
And also, I mean, I found my personal favourite, I don't know, Catherine, you may agree with this, a synthetic spinel. Pale to mid blue synthetic spinel. If I could have a dollar for every one of those that I have met since becoming a gemmo, I would be so rich, because people bring them in and they go, it's an aquamarine, it's my grandmother's or my great auntie's, it's an aquamarine. And you go, oh, okay, cool. And there's a very simple little test you can do with the polariscope, so you have a quick look and you're like, actually no, that's a synthetic spinel. Yeah, it makes it difficult when you have to break the bad news to people, but yeah, it helps knowing what you're dealing with. Not to say that that item is less precious to that person. Obviously, you still treat it the same. But, yeah, when people come in and they go, oh, you know, this is a massive aquamarine, you know, it must be worth $50,000. And you're like,
do you assess what you say to them based on what the outcome is? So if the aquamarine was not any less value, or the spinel was no less value to the aquamarine, or, you know, it was about on par, do you have that conversation with them, or do you only really tell them if it's required for the outcome of the valuation or whatever it might be?
It depends. If someone asks, I just treat it case by case. If somebody says, oh, you know, this was my grandmother's or this was my auntie's, and I was told it was an aquamarine, do you think it's an aquamarine? Then I'll say, oh, let me have a little look. And then I say, look, actually, no, but, you know, these were really, really common during that time. It was really popular in that period to have these stones. You know, I try and make it a soft landing for them. Yeah. If they don't ask, I don't say anything, because, you know, it's not my job to burst bubbles. But I just say, oh, well, look, at the time there were a lot of other stones on the market. You know, it may or it may not be, you know, unless you want me to look at it. You know, I'm not really sure what it could be. And I just go around it that way nicely.
It would be challenging if you knew full well, you know, like that ruby is not actually a ruby, or it's a glass-filled ruby, or I don't know the terminology, but that's why I need to do the course. But, you know, if you were to have that problem with a customer, it would be very challenging if you didn't know the right way to go about it. So do they teach that sort of stuff in the course, as how to deal with customers as well as suppliers?
No, not at all. Catherine, that could be an interesting subject to include.
No, I'll tell you why they don't.
Okay, go on.
Because we're teaching a scientific thing about the art of identifying gemstones. When you get into a retail situation, that's a completely different situation. Everyone's in different situations, and everyone who walks into my shop is different. I think that's possibly something they might teach in the valuers course, that's now quite extensive and geared towards retail as well. Mm-hmm. But as Meg said, every different person will come a different way, and some won't give it flying whatever, and others will find it as really sentimental and it's the family history and be really important to them. And you do need to treat that on a one-on-one basis. But the most important thing is that you can identify it. And you do know, and you don't perpetuate a myth down the track, and you know how to treat that stone so you don't break their heirloom. Yeah. And some people really appreciate knowing the truth, the history of it.
Yeah.
And I find that I have to explain the word synthetic. So as gemologists, we use the word synthetic. It's just a technical term. However, I would like to explain that, like the word decimate, say, we all know that that's deci is 10. So decimate means you reduce by 10%. It's when they, the Romans went and killed every 10th soldier. They decimated their army. But now journalists say decimate to mean something horrendous, and that might be 50 or 100% of the people have died in something. You know, it's catastrophic rather than 10%. And so I liken that to synthetic, where people say synthetic and they interpret that to mean that it's artificial or man-made or an imitation, like a CZ is a synthetic diamond, people often think, but it's not. It's an imitation or a fake if it's purporting to be a diamond when it's not. So I think that's really important, that something simple like that, people have misunderstood. And that's why now FCC in America said, and CIBJO also say, that we've got to say laboratory grown or laboratory cultured as opposed to synthetic. And even we're not even supposed to reduce it to lab grown. It's supposed to be laboratory grown. But
I read that too, actually. Yeah, we're supposed to always use the full terminology whenever referencing a lab grown.
Yeah, but again, just because that's the scientific rules, it doesn't mean that everybody uses those rules. Mm-hmm. They're not widely taught or explained. So you get now, they call them LGDs or mined diamonds, as opposed to natural diamonds. And it's this evolving terminology. Mm. But if you know the first principles, it's always, you don't have to remember all these things. You can.
How do you find the consistency with that coming from a gemologist then to a valuer? Because they're the ones who are writing it on official documentation. Do you find they're continuing on using that formal terminology?
From my point of view, yes, they should do the formal terminology, but it's also, you've got to balance that with what your audience understands. Mm. So my audience often doesn't understand the word synthetic. So if I'm in the retail environment, I'll either sit there and explain synthetic to them, and when they glaze over after the third sentence, or I just use the word lab grown.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You'd have to just stick to what your party is going to understand and explain it to them. I mean, you can't get around synthetic or laboratory grown. I was having a discussion with someone recently and they were wanting to use all sorts of euphemisms. And in the end, I said, there is no euphemism. It is a synthetic or a laboratory grown. Like, they're the only two that you can really use, because that's actually how it's come into the world.
Do you think there's going to be, because everything's sort of evolving, back in the day we had, you know, two different types of diamonds maybe, and that was it. Now there are so many different types of stones, types of diamonds, you know, you've got moissanites and CZs and lab growns and natural and mined and all of everything else. Is there going to be more? Are we still expanding this level of terminology, or are we getting to a stage where we're going to have, okay, that's it now, and we're going to have to work within that framework?
Well, CIBJO just released a guideline of terminology and how to describe things, but how people stick to that is a different matter. I think it's going to be tricky. And I think especially with more companies coming on board with the synthetic diamonds, like Pandora's just started a lab and Swarovski's just started a lab, and I think they're going to start using new terms, which will just confuse it even more. Because obviously they want to sell a product.
They'll have different branded terms, won't they?
Yeah. Mm. And I think that's going to be confusing as well. It's a bit like when a certain chain store, don't know if I can say the name, used, you know, gold and then a colourless stone, and, you know, it was a diamond simulant. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's my personal view.
And it's, again, about education. And this is what we're here, is talk to the jewelers and let them understand. The more we can educate them proper terminology, because brands will always go off on their own tangent and do their own marketing, and the marketing is the most important. And that's part of the reason they've all got so upset about the word synthetic, because they think it means imitation, and the public often don't understand. So again, it's all about the education. And going back to your question about what's going to happen in the future with the terminology, I think that's going to be an evolving thing. Our terminology it's not static, like gemology is not static. It reminds me of, I was going through the safe, you know, lockdown 6.8 or something, and I was going through the bottom of the safe. And this reminds me of something Meg said about the wholesalers and the salespeople. I was going through the bottom of my safe, and I had this layout I'd done in rubies. And I thought, well, okay, this has been here 15.5 years. I don't think this is going to get done. So I took it out of the layer and started to put them into little packets, you know, make all your gemstones nice and neat so you can look at them in one go. And I'm looking at the bottom of this cabochon and going, this is a fracture-filled ruby. Oh, God, I never would have bought a fracture-filled ruby, and, you know, but that was sold to me by a Thai dealer about 15, 20 years ago. He came to Australia and was touring, and he used to come quite a few times to see me a year. And it was black and blue to me. Well, not black and blue. It was black and white to me yesterday, the day before. But that was sold nearly 15, 20 years ago, and I wouldn't have realised back then what it was, because it was only just, it was a new thing. And this guy was supposed to knowing what he was selling me. So this is why it's important to keep on top of all the treatments and the new stuff coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess talking to you both as well, like, you're the converted, and I can imagine you think most jewelers should be converted too to the gemo side. Like, you
100%.
You know, so because like you say before, like, we kind of know what we can heat and what we can't, and what we can put in the sonic and acids and whatnot, but we don't really know the why when you come out of your trade papers. So
no, I know, you get nothing when you're doing your apprenticeship.
My personal experience was, I think we did a week or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that dipping your toe in the water, really. Like, there's so much to learn.
Gotcha.
So I guess my question to you is, do you think all the jewelers should be doing their full diplomas as gemologists?
Yes.
110%. 110%.
Very black and white answer. Yes. Do it.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Save your money for the first thing.
Yep.
And it enables you a sort of independence.
Mm.
Because if I didn't have gemology, I can't buy when I'm traveling. I've got to buy off somebody I can get a refund from. And you can't do that when you're traveling overseas. You can find some great bargains if you know what you're actually looking at auctions. And auctions always put through their duds. I put some great duds through auction, and they've been sold amazingly.
Yeah.
You know what to look for in a stone when you add an auction, if you want to. Just simple thing, like, I put an opal, one of Mum's rings, the opal cracked, so I put it through auction. And the person who bought it said, oh, no, I'm sorry, this is cracked, and brought it back to the auction. And so that's fine. I gave the money back. That's not a problem. Unbeknownst to me, and I was expecting to go pick it up from the auction, but unbeknownst to me, they put it back into auction. It sold the next week for more money.
Oh, wow.
And didn't come back.
Got lucky.
This is also just the knowledge that you have, and that you're, what you're looking at, you won't get caught out, and
well,
you shouldn't get caught out. And if you are, you can usually talk to the auction and say, look, I'm a gemologist. What was your description? No.
I bought a beautiful, it's about a 2-carat blue zircon in a platinum mount at an auction, and I paid $50 for it. Yeah, I know, it's fabulous. Because they said it was paste, which is glass, and gemmo you call glass paste in a silver mount. And I'm just looking at it going, and this is my, you can think I'm an absolute weirdo here, but I always think natural gemstones wink at you. And I say that to the students as well. Like, when they're synthetics and when they've been treated, they're like the drag queens. Like, they scream and shout at you and they say, look at me, I'm stunning, I'm amazing. Whereas natural gemstones just wink at you and go, hi, how are you doing? Like, they're just beautiful.
I love that. That is so good.
And I truly believe it. So I'm looking at this little stone, or big stone actually, and it's kind of winking at me. And I was like, oh, and I was with my mum, and I said, Mum, just give us a minute. I just want to have a look at this, you know. And I said, oh, can I have a look at that? And I'm like, I looked into it, and it's blue zircon. And so it's got strong doubling. So when you look into the stone, you get the doubling, the back facets. And I was like, Mum, that is a blue zircon. I'm having that stone. And yeah, went to auction. No one wanted it. $50, done. Thanks, mine. Sweet. And it's stunning. It's beautiful. So, yes, all jewellers should be gemologists.
It sounds like all women who wear jewellery should be gemologists because then they know what they're buying. Yeah, or and men too. My grandpa's strange anecdote. My grandpa just dropped his opal ring that he's had forever and a day, and we took it to go and get it fixed, and it's a layered one. Now, I don't know enough about opals, but it's a layered one, so they couldn't do anything with it. And it's not the value that we thought it was. And it was so disappointing. So, yeah, maybe we should all know more about
gemology. Yeah. Well, I even find that when, because I go to the trade, well, past tense, used to go to the overseas trade fairs. And then I'd always go off a little bit and, like, in Bangkok, go off to the cutting district and just mooch around on my own. And I would find even going there before I did my gemo, because I didn't really know what the hell I was doing. You know, you just look at a stone and go, oh, that's pretty. It's nice. I think that's a good stone. And then once I'd done gemo, and even when I did gemology, I always approached it that I've got a loop and a pair of tweezers, and that's it. So, you know, that's how I always kind of tried to prepare myself when I was looking at stones. And so, yeah, you know, go into these wholesalers, you know, in the cutting district, and they're like, oh, yeah, we've got this nice material, we've got that nice material. And I'm like, okay, lovely. You know, can I have a cloth? I get my tweezers out, get my loop out, and just setting yourself up to look at a stone. And then they start, you know, chirping to each other, like, hang on, I think she knows what she's doing. And all of a sudden, those stones are taken away. And they're like, oh, no, sorry, madam, sorry. These are our best stones. And I'm like, thank you. Mm. And they know just from how you're handling and how you're looking. They go, oh, okay, hang on, she actually knows what she's looking at, and let's just get rid of the crap, which has got strong colour banding and windows and it's poorly cut, things you don't want. They just get that out and bring out the good stuff straight away. And I've noticed that huge thing now, like straight off the bat. It's quite funny. I like it. It makes me laugh.
And it's interesting. You want to leave the supplier completely, doesn't it? I'm not dealing with you at all.
But just so you know that Bangkok is not only one of the big centres for gemstones in the world, it's also the main centre for synthetic gemstones.
Yep.
So, and I can't tell you how many times I have seen people buy gemstones overseas and bring them back, and they're not what they purported to be. In fact, how many years ago was it now? We did a press release, the GAA, about people buying gemstones online at eBay, focused on eBay. And it got onto the Brisbane News. Bill Seacos was in the ad, in the clip, and we were saying you've got to be very careful because buying from overseas, there's lots of fakes and forgeries, et cetera, et cetera. And eBay came down on us, like, interested to talk to us, gave us our own GAA page, all sorts of things. They wanted to talk because they thought we were giving negative information, but it still happens.
Oh yeah,
every day. Last week a guy brought a moissanite, and I should point this out, it's not moissanite, it's either lab grown or synthetic moissanite. There is no moissanite
natural
on the planet, or there's a little bit and it's in a museum somewhere. So all the moissanite on the planet is synthetic or lab grown, so we're not supposed to say just moissanite. Yeah, he just last week, he thought he had so much confidence in them. He said, no, they'll take it back and they're going to send me a real diamond. He didn't come back to me. I'm just like, oh.
It's the joys of being a retailer, isn't it? Like, and in this modern day, like I can assume this person was probably 20 or 30 years old, because they tend to be the ones I see that come through are spending this decent money on the internet, buying whatever certificate they think. And I say the same thing to all of them. Do you know how to use Photoshop? Do you know how to use Microsoft Word? I can give you a certificate. It doesn't mean anything. And like, I feel so sorry for these people because they think they've done a bit of education, you know, internet research, and they're spending good money on there, but they're getting totally duped. So
10 minutes on a Google search is not research.
No.
What should we do between the jewellery industry and the gemology industry to sort of fuse them a little bit more together so that they are a little bit more interlinked? What would you guys suggest is the pathway forward outside of just education and people picking up your courses?
Interesting question. So
yeah, it's a very interesting question. Go, Catherine.
It goes back to education. It's going back to education.
Hmm.
Maybe they start off with a short course. And I think it's understanding, understanding these things. Maybe we should have more drinking sessions at the next GIF to get people to understand and get a bit of experience. I'm always amazed at how much the public don't understand about jewellery in general. Mm. I always test drive things on my husband, but unfortunately he's getting to know too much now. So, but I try things out on the family and ask them questions. And, yeah, I'm just continually amazed at how much they don't know. And I've been doing this since 19, I probably won't say how long, but it was a 19s. So so going back to appreciating that the gemology actually is a journey and it's a really fun journey. If you're passionate about it and interested about it, it will help you save you money when you know what you're buying. You can, and I found having my independence is really important and helpful to me. Mm. I don't have to rely on a wholesaler knowing what's going on. I can travel overseas and have confidence that I can buy closer to the mine. Because it's one of these weird things. The closer you get to the mine, the more fakes and forgeries you'll see and the more expensive the gemstones are.
So it's like the people you see that go out west to the opal mines. They come back with the triplets and the doublets and they think they've bought straight from the miner who's pulling it out of the ground. And the amount of fakes I've seen come from it, well, not fakes, but, you know, doublets and triplets I've seen come from there. And what they pay for it's exactly what you just said. I feel so sorry for those people because they think they're going to the source.
Yeah, and isn't that like going to the tourism hotspots? Like you go to Paris and you're not buying a Louis Vuitton because you're buying it from a street vendor on the bridge somewhere who's mat rolled out and you're buying it for a great price. Is it that sort of thing?
Yeah. I remember being in Kanchanaburi in Thailand and we were in this like open bar area and there's this guy going around with this big tray of, I mean, I didn't even bother to look, but they were very big stones, all brightly coloured, so the drag queens. And you know, and people were buying them and they're going, oh, I just bought a ruby. And I think for a minute about where you are and what's happening. Like, do you honestly think a guy is walking around with a tray of rubies in the middle of like a dodgy bar area? But they did.
The stories, I have scientific clients that are like deans of universities and have come back with synthetic gemstones and, you know, they might have had a tester on there saying, look, see, this is ruby. It says it's a ruby. Yeah, but it's a synthetic lab-grown ruby. It's going to have the same physical and chemical properties as a natural stone. So it is going to test as a ruby because it is a ruby. It's just a lab-grown one that's worth a dollar a carat.
They're buying into the experience.
They've got a great anecdote.
Exactly.
Yeah, they've got a story. They don't have a good gemstone. They've got a nice story from a holiday.
They don't think it's a nice story when they found out they've paid $150 for a $5 stone.
Yep.
That they're now going to donate to the GAA so someone else can identify it for them.
Yeah, teach the students. Look, I personally think it's professionalism across the industry. It's continued education. Yeah, and being as professional and top of your industry as you can. And like that's what makes you a good jeweler. It's staying up to date with the latest information, technologies and trends. And I think gemology is just another wing of that. It's
like, it is.
You've already listed all the pros from having, you know, the gemology diploma under your belt.
I've got more.
Yeah. I'm sure you do.
There was even one guy said, and I said to him, you know, why aren't you, he's a really good jeweler. And we went to tech together and I said, you know, why aren't you going to do your gemo ticket? And he goes, I employ someone to do that for me. And I said, okay, fine. You know, I thought the knowledge, the peace of mind you have for yourself when you have it, when you can walk through a trade fair, you can walk internationally, you can, you know, be in the back streets of Istanbul, and you've got the confidence and the knowledge to actually know what you're doing, what you're looking at, what you're buying. You know, that's irreplaceable.
Let me ask you this, because it's really, it's just a bit of time and money to get your diploma. I know the GA offers various channels to achieve that. So tell us what those are, like, because you don't have to be in-house. You know,
WA you do, unfortunately.
WA you do, yeah. So explain that to us. If the people that are listening out there want to do their gemology diplomas, how do they go about it and what are the options?
Yeah, because WA, we just do in-house. So you basically come to one lecture a night and then you do one prac session in the lab per night. So you've got two nights a week that you'll be at GEMO, and you'll do that for 2 years, and it's good fun. But so yeah, we just do in-house face-to-face. Over to you, Catherine, for the rest of the country.
Thanks, Meg. Brett, I like your word professionalism. I think that really encompasses a lot of why people do gemology, for that professionalism to be at the top of your field. And I spoke to one of the guys recently who is at the top of his field, who's got quite a few shops in Melbourne, and he said, we first did gemology, and he's a geologist, and he went and did gemology just so he knew what he was buying overseas.
Yep.
Simple as that. And now he's got three stores, et cetera, et cetera. Going back to how the courses are done, there's three main ways in most of the states of Australia. There's face-to-face, which is like a normal class. You go for a night for prac, and also a night for lectures. Sometimes they're on the same night, sometimes they're different. So they're 2 hour prac classes and 2 hour theory classes. The theory classes now are taped, and they go into a system called Moodle, which a lot of universities and schools use for online education or just for education. They tape the lectures, and so people who are doing the flexible and intensive courses means they can watch them online at their leisure. They're both the flexible, intensive people need to come in to do prac. You can't do prac online. It's just too difficult. So they do, the intensive does it 1 week for Gem 1 and 1 week for Gem 2, the intensive. And the flexible come in for 1 week at a time just to do it quickly and get it under their belt and then do the exam. So 2 years part-time and 1 year intensive. And it's, where are we, $4,300 for members.
Per year,
yeah.
And you guys will be, speaking of, you know, chatting to you about this face-to-face and having a drink about it, you will be at the Jewellery Industry Fair in February in Melbourne. And I know your diploma course starts a little bit before that maybe, but having a bit of a chat with you face-to-face is probably a great way to start.
Yes, it starts in Melbourne, it starts the 14th of February, but all the states start around the first and second week of February.
Yeah.
And look, we're so happy to talk to people. There's learn@gem.org.au is the email. The phone number is 1300 436 338. I've got it on my computer, that's why I can know it off the top of my head. And anyone is always happy to speak to a gemologist that you know, and they'll give you the lowdown. Our best advertising is other gemologists. It's word of mouth.
I said, look at Meg, converted, jeweler to demo.
We all love it. And, of course, the website, www.gem.org.au, has lots of information on it. So, yeah, ring, email, text, we're happy, we can talk for hours about it. And seriously, anybody that you know is a gemologist will be frank with you and say how it's enriched their lives and they'd never look back. I couldn't possibly have done my business without it.
Yeah.
Couldn't possibly. And being
successful. Why would you not love sitting around, you know, learning more about these beautiful sparkly things? Like, what a great day out.
Yep. Well, I haven't mentioned that there is a whole... It's a whole community. It's a whole family type thing. It's a really, and it's, everyone's so honest with it, and it's a worldwide community. Like when we were in lockdown, there were gemologists all over the world giving their time free, giving online webinars, it just makes my eyes well up how beautiful these people were to support and help other people. And the lengths they go to help the miners, the gemologists, have really got a heart of gold, really, right throughout the world. It's just I'm getting teary. It's a wonderful group of people that always are striving for the truth.
Yeah. Like you, Catherine, I mean, you've given your time as a volunteer for so many years to the GAA. I'm sure they are very much thinking the same about you, an absolute, you know, you're worth your weight in gold, I'm sure, for the association.
Yeah, I did say to the students that I had a few weeks ago, I did say to them, I said, you know, if you know a gemo, either in your workplace, if they're lucky enough to have one there, or someone that comes in, I said, just become friends with them, start talking to them and, you know, ask them questions and, you know, start bugging them, and hope, usually 9 times out of 10, they're happy to tell you and show you lots of things. I said, just start learning from them, just baby step. That's how I got into it. I had a fabulous gemo working where I was working. She was the valuer. And I used to go in and bug her, and then when she realised I was interested, she'd come and show me really cool things, and, you know, it just grows. And so, yeah, I said, please just, you know, find a gemo, start annoying them. They'll love it.
Yeah.
That's how you learn.
Just to be clear, to be a valuer, you need to have done gemology. You have to have a gemology diploma from somewhere in the world to actually, it's a prerequisite for valuing.
So that makes me think, is the diploma internationally recognised? Is there much difference between the different diplomas taught around the world?
Our diploma is internationally recognised. Once you've graduated, you can apply to become the Fellow of the Gemological Association of Australia. So you get the post-nominals of FGAA. And I should say there's also a diamond course you can do, 1-year diamond technology course. Amongst all the other short courses. I was in America 10, 15 years ago at a trade fair, and I was introduced to the president of the Diamond Association back then, and he took my card and we chatted, and he said, oh, you're an FGAA. Oh, you know your stuff. And he was referring to the GIA graduates, the Gemological Institute of America graduates. So the FGA and the FGAA and the Canadians are all considered to be very, very good gemologists, a lot more scientific than the GIA ones. They're more sort of retail gemologist type thing.
Also, the for jewellers, I would strongly suggest doing the practical diamond grading course. It's a 1-week course with, usually Bill runs it, doesn't he, Catherine?
He runs it in Sydney. But I'm pretty sure there'll be other people, like Katrina Maccioni runs it in Melbourne.
Okay.
Bill goes to Adelaide, Perth. Sarah Claire Edwards will probably start running it in Perth soon. But he also Bill goes to Queensland. And Bill Seacos is the diamond god of Australia.
But that is amazing, because, again, as a jeweller, you know, you get to see diamonds, obviously. And I was very lucky to have a very lovely diamond wholesaler rep that would come through and show me good cuts, bad cuts, different types of inclusions, you know, as I was an apprentice. But, yeah, then once I'd finished gemo, I did the practical diamond grading course, and it was mind-blowing what I did not know about.
You just don't know. You just don't know what you don't know. You just don't know what you don't know.
I highly recommend that practical diamond grading, 1 week. You don't need to be a gemo to do that, do you, Catherine?
No.
100% worth its weight in gold, that one. Fabulous. And for jewellers, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, wonderful. And I guess the information for these courses is all on the website, the running times throughout the year and their locations.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, you've converted me. I'm certainly keen to do it. I think I was, you know, always wanting to dabble into it, and even though you know, it's not my day to day, I'm very keen to do a gemo course. So thank you both so much for your time, Catherine and Meg, and we can't wait to see you in February at the fair. But we can't wait to see you guys and the GAA at the fair in Melbourne, and we'll find out more information, and we'll add some links and bits and pieces to our podcast notes. And thank you both so much for being on the Jewels podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura and Brett. Really appreciate your time too. It's great. Thanks for the professionalism word, Brett. I'm into that one now. Thank you.
Sure, take it. It's yours. It's yours. Thanks again, ladies. It was fantastic. It's always interesting hearing the other side of the spectrum because I am a bench jeweler and I just feel like I got another kick in the pants from another person on the podcast telling me to go do some more education and, become more
professional. Do it. Just do it. You won't regret it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks again, ladies.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure that you hit subscribe on your favourite podcast player and feel free to follow us on all of our socials. We're on Instagram and Facebook.